It is so nice to be back with you. I didn't introduce myself. For those of you who haven't been here when I've been here before, I'm Father Mike Baldwin. I am the director of the Priest's Retirement Center these days, and it is a special joy to be in a lively place like this, because things are a little slower out our way, but it's great to be with you. You might remember from my having been here before, I kind of have this little philosophy. We have been praying fervently together. We have been listening very carefully to the scriptures. We're going to take a little break, and then we'll go back to more intense listening, okay? So I have a story for you. A wife asks her husband as he carries his golf bag out the door, "What are your plans for Easter?" He answers, "Same as Jesus. I will disappear on Friday and appear again on Monday." A defendant was on trial for murder. There was strong evidence that he was guilty, but there was no corpse. In the defense's closing statement, the lawyer, knowing that his client would probably be convicted, resorted to a trick. "Ladies and gentlemen of the jury," he said, "I have a surprise for you all. Within 1 minute, the person presumed dead in this case will walk into the courtroom." He looked toward the courtroom door. The jurors were stunned and looked eagerly. A minute passed. Nothing happened. Finally, the lawyer said, "Well, really, I made up that previous statement, but you all looked with anticipation. I put it to you that you have a reasonable doubt as to the guilt of my client." The jury was confused. They retired to deliberate. A few minutes later, they returned and pronounced a verdict of guilty. The lawyer said, "How can that be? You must have had some doubt. I saw you all look at the door." The jury foreman said, "Oh, we looked, but your client didn't." Just think about that. Some of you will get that about 2 o'clock this afternoon, okay? Studies have shown that public speaking is the thing that people fear the most, and their second most common fear is death. That means people would rather be the one in the casket than the one giving the eulogy. Okay, enough of that. Today is Divine Mercy Sunday. I was prompted to talk a lot about divine mercy until I prayed about it. And then it came to me that there's something behind that divine mercy that we need to explore a little bit today. It shows up in the scriptures here so specifically, I just had to say something about it, okay? So it's really, we're going to look at the source of that divine mercy as it flows into our lives. And to do that, we're going to reflect on how a resurrected body is not limited by space. And then we'll look at how a resurrected body is not limited by time. And then we'll reflect on the words of the Catechism of the Catholic Church on what a resurrected body really is. Okay? And then we'll see how God's mercy, Jesus' mercy, flows to us from that. So, in today's gospel, we're in John chapter 20, he mentions very carefully that the doors were locked on Easter Sunday, and then Jesus appeared in their midst. And then a week later, Jesus comes again, but John is careful to say the doors were locked. In each of those instances, Jesus just stood in their midst. He didn't bang on the door and wait for somebody to open it. He didn't shout out, "I'm here." He just suddenly appeared in the middle of the group. That tells us something about a resurrected body. It is different from the body that we now have. If that were the case, if it were like the body that we have now or that Jesus had as he walked on the earth, then he would have had to knock on the door and wait for somebody to open. But in this glorified body, which Peter, James, and John got a foretaste of, do you remember that second Sunday of Lent just a few weeks back when we had that story about the transfiguration of Christ on the mountaintop and how they saw his glory? This was a different body than the body that they had been looking at a few moments before. In his resurrection, Jesus is raised beyond this existence to a new level. He was free from physical limitations. There was no place, there was no door that could shut him out. I want one of those bodies. It would have been so much handier this morning instead of having to drive down here, you know, and with gas prices the way they are, it would have made so much sense to just be able to appear in your midst. Wouldn't that be fabulous? I want a resurrected body. Let's talk about how a resurrected body is not limited to space, but also is not limited to time. See, the religious leaders, the political leaders in Jesus' time, thought that they could end his life by hanging him on a cross. They thought that by doing that, Jesus' time would run out. But they didn't succeed. The risen Lord appeared to his disciples beyond time of his death and resurrection. And he continues to be with his disciples. He continues to make himself known to this day. In our lives today, Jesus speaks to us. Jesus just spoke to us in the gospel. We acknowledge that. You know, I say the gospel of the Lord. You say, do you say something? Wake up, wake up. I say the gospel of the Lord. You say,
praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ.
You are here with us. In that way, we experience the presence of Christ. We also experience the presence of Christ, most importantly, in the Eucharist. Christ draws us into holy communion with himself, with his resurrected body. Every time we come to the Lord's table, he gives us his very body and blood. The Catechism of the Catholic Church speaks about a resurrected body in section 645. If you want to look it up, you can do that. It says, by touch and the sharing of a meal, the risen Jesus establishes contact, direct contact with his disciples. He is not a ghost. His risen body is the same body which was tortured and crucified. He shows us that with the wounds in his hands and his side. But it has new properties of a glorious body, not limited by space and time, but able to be present how and when Christ will. His humanity can no longer be confined to earth. It belongs from that time on only to the Father's divine realm. In the next little section, the Catechism says, Christ's resurrection was not a return to earthly life like with the raisings from the dead that he performed in his earthly ministry. Raising Jairus, you remember that? Raising the young man from Nain, raising Lazarus. Those were miraculous events, but those people who were miraculously raised returned by Jesus' power just to their ordinary life, to their ordinary bodies. at some particular moment down the line, they would die again. Christ's resurrection is essentially different, the Catechism says. In his risen body, he passes from the state of death to another life beyond time and space. At his resurrection, Christ's body is filled with the power of the Holy Spirit. He shares the divine life in his glorious state. And that is why Paul can say in 1 Corinthians chapter 15 that Christ is the man of heaven. He is man, he is also God. We will say that in just a few minutes in the Creed. Truly God, truly man. So the doors were locked where Jesus appeared in the gospel today. He stood in their midst with that glorified body, which was not limited by space. And he didn't end his interactions in his glorified body in any time frame. He is still with us in that glorified body. He's passed beyond space and time, filled with the power of the Holy Spirit. I like to think of the resurrection as kind of the Big Bang moment in time, okay? Do you know how people, many scientists say that the world began in this way? There was this tiny, maybe subatomic particle that suddenly bursts and the entire universe is made present. Think about that. We can see what the universe looks like, at least as much as we can see, with all these telescopes we have in space now. The amazing universe burst out of that tiny bit of matter, a dense bit of matter. And in the same way, life in Christ, resurrected life, burst out of Jesus on the day of his resurrection and is made present and visible and relatable for us. See, there is no time, there is no place, there is no human heart that Jesus cannot touch right now, this minute. No wonder we have been crying out in this Easter octave, "He is risen. Alleluia."